Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, June 6th, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Idaho Public Utilities Commission considering relaxing landline repair time limits for suppliers of telephone landlines. Hecla Mining fined $318,000 for death of one of its miners last year. Pullman City Council slashes current fiscal year budget by $400,000, and some in southwestern Idaho and eastern Oregon still without power after Monday night's storm. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report, but first, world headlines from Future Story News, Free Speech Radio News, and the Pacifica Radio Network. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A fourth likely arson fire in just over 2 weeks has hit Washington State University. A fire was reported in a stairwell last night at the Fine Arts Center. Washington State University Police Lieutenant Steve Hansen says it appears someone tried to light objects on fire in several stairwell landings. Hansen says investigators believe last night's fire may be linked to the other three recent suspicious fires that impacted Washington State University fire. In the early morning hours of May 22nd, an unoccupied commons building at Nez Perce Village Apartments, owned by WSU, was destroyed by fire. On May 26th, the unoccupied commons building at Chief Joseph Village Apartments, also owned by WSU, was destroyed by an early morning blaze. Another fire at McCoy Hall in a laboratory caused $80,000 in damage May 29th. Washington State University reports the three earlier fires caused a total of nearly $900,000 in damage. Those who might have information about any of the fires in Pullman should call the WSU police at area code 509-335-8548. That number again, 509-335-8548, or they can use the tip line, which is 509-334-2249. That's 509-334-2249. The Nez Perce County Sheriff's Department reports it has closed Lapway Road between the community of Lapway and the Nez Perce Indian Reservation line after a suspected bomb was found along the road at Soldier's Grade early this afternoon. The Lewiston Tribune website reports a bomb squad from Spokane was on its way after the suspected bomb was found at about 12:40 p.m. The Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration has announced it has fined Hecla Mining Company $318,000 for the death of miner Larry Merrick in April last year. Merrick was crushed during a cave-in about a mile underground in the Lucky Friday mine at Mullen, Idaho. His body was recovered several days later after an intensive search by workers who did not know if he had survived or not. The mining company has until Tuesday, June 19th, to either pay the fine or contest it. Merrick's death was the first at the silver, gold, and zinc mine in 25 years. Miner Brandon Lloyd Gray died after an accident in the mine last November when he jumped into a jammed rock chute and was buried. In another accident in mid-December, seven miners were injured in a rock burst. The third accident prompted federal regulators to close the mine until repairs are made, mainly to the main shaft. Work on the mile-deep shaft is ongoing, and Hecla announced it would start rehiring workers in July. The Idaho State Liquor Division announced today that in order to avoid unnecessary litigation, it will make Five Wives Vodka available by special order. The Liquor Division caused a stir last week when Ogden's own distillery, based in Utah, publicized the fact that the Liquor Division had decided not to carry Five Wives Vodka because the branding of the product would be offensive to Mormons. State Liquor Division Director Jeff Anderson released a statement today, which said in part, in a shared desire to avoid unnecessary litigation costs to Ogden's own distillery and the people of Idaho. Today we have informed the makers of Five Wives Vodka that we will immediately begin processing special order requests for both on-premise licensees and retail customers. The Seattle Times reports the price of 13 of the 20 most popular brands of liquor in the state have increased due to the privatization of liquor sales, which went into effect last Friday. The Times says the results are part of an informal, unscientific statewide survey of liquor prices. Readers of the newspaper reported the price of 90 out of 170 brands went up and 82 of the brands went down. 8 stayed the same. Idaho's largest landline supplier wants the State Public Utilities Commission to relax a rule that requires land telephone line operators repair outages within 24 hours or credit customers for the time of lost connectivity. The Public Utilities Commission is considering a proposal backed by CenturyLink to increase the maximum outage time without giving credit to 48 hours, and to allow outages that occur on weekends to be repaired the following Monday. The Public Utilities Commission is expected to make a decision on modifying the current rule within 3 weeks. CenturyLink attorney Mary Hobson wrote to the Public Utilities Commission saying, "Today, it is fair to say most Idaho customers also maintain a wireless connection that enables voice communication even when their wire line is out of service. Restoration of wire line service, therefore, is no longer as important to customers as it once was." Hobson says the current 24-hour rule, in effect since 1993, puts the company at a competitive disadvantage. American Association of Retired People spokesperson David Irwin told the Spokesman Review, "This is again just one of those extremely complicated cases that really can tend to fly right under the radar screen. This is not even going to get a public hearing. From our end, this is a particularly tough deal for older consumers who have landline phones and are much more reliant on them than any other group." More than 2,000 Idaho Power customers in southwestern Idaho and eastern Oregon are still without power after a powerful storm moved through the region Monday night. Most of the power that's still out is in rural areas, such as Boise County, which is northeast of the state capital and does not include the city of Boise. Several hundred customers in McCall and other areas of Valley County are also still without power. Idaho Power reports 52,000 customers initially lost power in the region Monday night, and hundreds of power poles were knocked down by the storm. Baker City, Oregon, got an inch of rain, and an unofficial wind gauge at Glens Ferry clocked a wind gust at 84 miles an hour. The National Weather Service measured a wind gust at 70 miles per hour in Twin Falls. Payette National Forest Public Affairs Officer Laura Premuck reports 3 bunkhouses at the Crassell Work Center were damaged when ponderosa pines were felled by Monday night's storm. A tree also crushed a pickup truck there. The 2 workers who were staying at the work center drove down to a nearby airstrip to spend the night because of trees falling all around them at the work center. The National Weather Service reported 3/4 of a mile of ponderosa pines were snapped at mid-trunk near the site, which is about 55 miles from Cascade. Closer to home, Monday night's storm knocked out power to 350 Lewiston Orchards residences for about 4 hours. National Weather Service forecaster Steve Bodnar reported golf ball-sized hail near Weipe and quarter-sized hail in parts of Garfield County, Washington. A representative of the Spokane Police Department recently told the Spokane City Council the department will continue to ask federal Border Patrol agents to come to locations of police calls if they need help with translation. According to a report in the Inlander, Police Major Frank Scalise said, "There's a translation bank that you can call in whatever language you need, and there's a cost associated with that. So I think if someone's aware that there's a Spanish-speaking officer, whether it's our agency or another agency, it's more cost-effective and quicker to ask for that assistance. Civil liberties activists and members of the Hispanic community have expressed concern about an upsurge in the arrival of Border Patrol agents at Spokane area police calls. Sometimes the Border Patrol agents arrive without having been asked by the Spokane Police Department, and Border Patrol officials have confirmed they sometimes monitor local police radio traffic and then go to the scene of police calls. The issue is coming up in the Spokane area as the American Civil Liberties Union and the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project look into Border Patrol racial profiling on the Olympic Peninsula. The two organizations have sued the agency over complaints on the west side, and the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project has filed another complaint stemming from a case in Spokane. Spokane City Council President Ben Stuckert said the police department will begin keeping records of when the Border Patrol arrives at police call locations. Stuckert said, if that concern is valid, we'll be aware of that much quicker than in the past. Pullman City Council members voted last night for significant reductions in parks and recreation programs and the public library as part of $400,000 in cuts to the 2012 general fund. The $400,000 cut from the current budget is in addition to $155,000 cut earlier. City Financial Director Bill Mulholland said the city would have to cut another $300,000 to be in the black, and he believes the city should cut another $500,000 from this year's general fund so the city's reserve fund can be replenished. The cuts approved last night include closing the Aquatic Center 1 hour earlier every day and on Sundays, eliminating daycare rentals at Rainy Pool, closing Rainy Park 1 hour earlier every day, ending the city's Halloween carnival, cutting youth sports workers, and deferring new administrative hires for Neal Public Library. The police department would save $71,000 for the city by waiting to fill a vacant officer position and another $44,000 by waiting to hire a police records specialist. The fire department will take cuts as well, including holding off on hiring a firefighter for half a year, which will save $30,000. The fire department will also save $24,000 by cutting staff at major events and $50,000 by waiting to buy fire equipment. The Hamilton Low Aquatic Center in Moscow canceled the second and third day of the Schools to Pools event yesterday and today due to cold weather. The event normally kicks off the summer pool season. If the temperature is likely to reach 60 degrees by tomorrow, the pool will open as scheduled at noon. Aquatic Center hours will be noon to 7:30 p.m. weekdays and 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on weekends this summer. Portland State University marine mammal researcher Dalen D'Alessandro says 20 California and Stellar sea lions have been shot this year near the mouth of the Columbia River. D'Alessandro says she thinks frustrated fishermen are shooting the sea lions. She says typically about 5 sea lions are found shot every year around the time salmon fishing season begins. Oregon and Washington Fish and Game officials are allowed to kill a limited number of California sea lions to protect salmon runs at the Bonneville Dam upstream from Portland. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 41 degrees. West winds could gust as high as 25 miles an hour, 5 to 15 mile per hour sustained winds becoming east overnight. 50% chance of showers tomorrow afternoon. Increasing clouds, high 66. East winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 20. And 70% chance of showers tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, low 44. On Friday, there will be a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, high 55. Another 40% chance of showers Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 40. And showers likely Saturday, 60% chance, mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy, high 51. Currently at the Moscow Pullman Regional Airport, we have fair skies, 56 degrees. Coming up next, we have Building Bridges, your weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio. And at 6:30 p.m., the show Flashpoints from the Pacifica Radio Network, which is broadcast on various stations around the country. And tonight will include interviews with various activists who are working on resisting tar sands fracking and planned coal shipments through the Northwest. And we'll hear about that on that show. Flashpoints at 6:30. Music begins at 7:30. This is KRFP Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, where you can find out more ways to contribute to Radio Free Moscow by going to the Radio Free Moscow website at krfp.org or radiofreemoscow.com. Stand by for more. This is KRFP Moscow.